But hey, I'm excited to open up God's Word, and we're continuing our series in 1 Samuel chapter 24. But before we do that, I just want to give you guys a couple of updates of what the Lord has been doing here at First Baptist and the Next Generation. As you know, I got here in December. It feels like I've been here for about a month and a half, but it's been almost going on 6 months. And so, man, I have loved seeing the Lord work in the Next Generation, from, you know, D-Now to just Wednesday night activities. But I think the most encouraged I've been is through Bless Our Schools. And I've had the opportunity to go and visit all of our schools that we're partnering with Noonan High School and Evans Middle School and Ruth Hill Elementary. And this past week was Teacher Appreciation Week, but it was also student testing. And so kind of a stressful week to have Teacher Appreciation Week on, kind of ironic. But this past week, this is very exciting. I want us to celebrate this. You know, we partnered with Bless Our Schools. We made this initiative before I got here. But this past week, we wrote a lot of letters. To be exact, we wrote 998 letters of encouragement to our teachers, students, staff at all three of our schools. Can we celebrate the opportunity that we have? What an opportunity that we have to really bless our schools, and so that's super exciting. So 1 Samuel chapter 24, like I said, we're continuing our series titled No Perfect People Allowed, and we're going through the life of David. And David, he's been through a lot to this point. He's been anointed king, and he's in this waiting period, and man, it's been such a dark waiting time for David. We're going to see this in 1 Samuel chapter 24, but imagine 13 years of waiting to be king. You're told by God that, hey, you're going to be king over Israel, and that's an exciting thing. It was a very honorable thing to be king over Israel, God's chosen people. And David, the man after God's own heart, he is told by God that this would happen, but he did not know how long he would have to wait. And so this series, No Perfect People Allowed, it has really convicted my heart that a lot of times I feel called by God, but I have no idea how long of a season of waiting will take. And so the week one, Pastor Joel preached on how God sees you when you feel unseen. How God sees you when you feel unseen. Last week, Pastor Joel preached on how God fights for you when the odds feel impossible. And our title for this morning is this: God is working when you wonder where he is. God is working when you wonder where he is. Have any of you ever asked the question, God, where are you? God, are you there? God, I don't feel you. I don't see you. I'm waiting in this period. I'm going through a really bad struggle in my life. God, my family needs you. God, I need you financially. I don't see you. I don't hear you. God, where are you? We're going to see in 1 Samuel chapter 24 that David, he is hiding. He's hiding from King Saul because Saul loved to be king over Israel. And Saul didn't want anyone else to be king over Israel. And so he was pursuing after David to kill him. And so David is in this season of waiting still, but also he's like, God, what's happening? Put yourselves in the shoes of David. You're called to be the next king, but the current king is trying to kill you. You're like, God, I'm confused. God, this plan, I don't see it. I don't see your plan for my life. How many of y'all have ever asked the question, God, is your plan the right plan? God, I think I may have a better plan than you. We might not mean to say it, but a lot of times we think our plan, our purpose, is better than God's purpose. About a year ago now, I was in this season. I was working bivocationally in ministry, in seminary full time. I was like, God, what's next for me? And sometimes he would be very loud in my life. Sometimes it would be, God, where are you? And so how can we be faithful in this season? That's our big idea this morning. Write this down. We are called to be faithful in the dark. We are called to be faithful in the dark. You read through scripture and you look at all these Bible characters that God used in extraordinary ways. You think about David, you think about Abraham, Noah, Daniel, all of these men in the Bible that are used in extraordinary ways by God, but you're saying, Lord, I see this. I read these stories. I've heard these stories so often. But Lord, what about my story? What about my wants, my desires, my needs, my calling, my passions? Sometimes it's really hard to see the big picture. And we see these stories that are written in Scripture, but I want to encourage you this morning before we get into our passage is that your story is still being written. Your story is still being written. God could have something for you that you wake up tomorrow and you find out what that is, but it could be a season of waiting as well. And so before we dig in, church family, you are called to be faithful even in the dark. 1 Samuel chapter 24, let's start reading in verse 4. Read with me. And the men of David said to him, "Here's the day of which the Lord said to you, 'Behold, I will give your enemy into your hand, and you shall do to him as it shall seem good to you.' Then David arose and stealthily cut off a corner of Saul's robe, and afterwards David's heart struck him." Pay attention to that. "Because he had cut off a corner of Saul's robe. He said to his men, 'The Lord forbid that I should do this thing to my Lord, the Lord's anointed, to put out my hand against him, seeing he is the Lord's anointed.' So David persuaded his men with these words and did not permit them to attack Saul. And Saul rose up and left the cave and went on his way." Let's stop there for just a second. This morning, I'm going to give you three ways that you can be faithful in the dark. And this first way is found in verses 4 through 6, and it's to walk slowly. Walk slowly. Again, David is hiding from Saul. His men are behind him. He'd been pursued by Saul countless times, probably scared for his life, wondering how he's going to lead, wondering when God's calling is going to come. He's in this cave, and we see that Saul came into this cave to relieve himself. In other words, he's going to the bathroom. And so Saul comes in, doesn't see David, but David sees Saul. And his men are behind him. Picture this. His men are behind him saying, "David, this is your time. David, you've been waiting for this moment. Saul doesn't see you. Go and kill him." David's men are, what are you doing? What are you waiting for? And so we see that David has an opportunity. He has a decision to make. He's put in a crossroads. He said, "I can get what I want right now. I could be king of Israel right now. I could kill Saul. I could put on the crown, and I could sit on the throne. God's called me to be king. I could do it right now." That's not what he decides to do. David decides to walk slowly. He still pursues Saul, but see how David pursues Saul. He walks up slowly, cuts off just a corner of his robe, just a corner. And when I read this, when I studied for this morning, I thought it was so funny why David would just cut off a corner of Saul's robe. But see what happens to David after this. David's heart in verse 5. "And afterwards, David's heart struck him because he had cut off a corner of Saul's robe." Even cutting off a corner of Saul's robe struck the heart of David. Why? Because he still felt like he was operating out of his own desires, out of his own plan. David was caught in a crossroads, and even him cutting off the corner was still enough for David to see that he's operating out of his own will. And so his heart struck him. He was convicted. And so he began to walk slowly. If you're anything like me, whenever something goes wrong, I try to fix it. I'm a fixer. I want to fix all of my problems myself. I don't want anyone to know about my problems. I want to fix them. I'm an internal processor. And so when those moments come, oftentimes I don't walk slowly. Oftentimes I'll run headfirst into my problems. But church family, we are called to walk slowly. If you want to live faithful in this season of darkness, in this season of waiting, you must walk slowly. So what does it mean to walk slowly? Pray before you act. Pray before you act. That sounds very elementary, but it's so true. David's heart of praying before he acts. In this moment, he could have killed Saul. He could have gotten the throne. He could have gotten what he wanted. But he decided to walk slowly. And think about this from a leadership perspective here. David's men behind him, pushing him to kill Saul. We see that God is molding David into a leader to be king over Israel. He's a young leader, very young. He decides to walk slowly, and this is leadership capital here. You may be leaders in your work. You may be leaders in your family. You may be leaders at school. You may have a leadership role when you go to school. Whatever it may be, you have influence. And so do you want to be a leader that walks slowly, meaning that these surprises, that these struggles, that this darkness doesn't catch you by surprise or doesn't catch you acting out? You're a processor. You pray before you act. In this season of struggle, or just a season of waiting that I had, really not knowing where the Lord is calling me. This was before I came to Noonan. I was working in college and young adult ministry, and I loved it. I absolutely loved it. But I knew God was calling me somewhere. I just didn't know when. I didn't know where. I didn't know how and what capacity. And I remember I was talking to my boss about it at my last church. Me and him are really good friends. I was talking to him. I was just laying out kind of my plans. I was saying, if this doesn't happen by then I'm going to do this. And if that doesn't happen by then, I'm going to do that. And, you know, if overall this happens, then I'll just go this route. And in the middle of me kind of just ranting to him, he puts his hand up. He says, "Mac, have you prayed about this? Have you prayed about this season of struggle in your life? Have you prayed about this season of waiting?" Because he reminded me, because God sees you. God hears you. God knows the plan for your life, but are you praying before you're acting? And he reminded me that the Lord is molding me into the next season of my life. And so you may be in the darkness this morning. You may be in the waiting. You may not know what's next. Let me encourage you that the Lord in this moment is molding you for what's next. Are you going to walk slowly? Are you going to pray before you act? Be a person of prayer, not a person of action. Pray before you act. This leads us to our second truth here. We walk slowly. Secondly, we trust completely. We trust completely. Let's pick up in verse 8 of our passage here. "Afterward, David also arose and went out of the cave and called after Saul, 'My lord, the king.' And when Saul looked behind him, David bowed with his face to the earth and paid homage. And David said to Saul, 'Why do you listen to the words of men who say, "Behold, David seeks your harm"? Behold, this day your eyes have seen how the Lord gave you today into my hand in the cave, and some told me to kill you, but I spared you. I said, I will not put out my hand against my Lord, for he is the Lord's anointed.'" Verse 11, "See my father, see the corner of your robe in my hand, for by the fact that I cut off the corner of your robe and did not kill you, you may know and see that there is no wrong or treason in my hands. I have not sinned against you, though you hunt my life to take it. May the Lord judge between me and you. May the Lord avenge me against you, but my hand shall not be against you." Let's stop there for just a second. From what we see is that David is not only walking slowly here, but he is trusting completely. He is trusting completely. As Saul is leaving the cave where David cut off the corner of his robe, he called out to Saul and bowed to him, say, "Hey, Saul, I was in this cave with you. You didn't know I was there. I could have killed you. Here's the corner of your robe that I cut off." You're like, what is David doing here? Could he have just let Saul go? Sure. What David was doing is he was making it known to Saul that he was trusting in the Lord completely, and that ultimately David was not called to be the judge of Saul. God is the judge of Saul. So this was a good reminder for me, and I hope it's a good reminder for you, that in the moment of darkness, in the moment of waiting, you have no authority on whether your life goes one way or the other. And for me, I can have joy in that. Because the Lord knows every step of the way, every season change, every season of darkness that I have gone through, that I will go through. The Lord knows about it. And so why would I trust myself when the Lord knows my path? David has a humbling moment here, a good reminder that if he wants to be king over Israel in the way that God has set him over Israel, then he needs to trust the Lord completely. And so, church family, are you trusting the Lord completely this morning? In this season of waiting, in this season of darkness, in this season of struggle, you feel alone, you feel forsaken. You feel like it's one thing after another, whether it be financially, whether it be career-wise, whether it be family. If you're trusting in yourself, you better be ready for disappointment. If you're trusting in yourself to have it all together, to fix everything in your life, you better be ready for disappointment. Because time and time again, we are reminded that there's no perfect people allowed. And we need to trust completely that the Lord has it all together and that we don't. Notice again what it says in verse 12. May the Lord judge between me and you. May the Lord avenge me against you. But my hand shall not be against you. Saul was hearing from everyone that David was trying to pursue Saul to kill him as well. And so David was also making it known, saying, hey, Saul, I'm not trying to kill you. I could have killed you, but I didn't. Again, David's being molded into a leader. He's being molded into the next season of life. He's being molded to be king. It was in these moments of darkness, in these moments of waiting, that David had the greatest lesson on leadership. And so, church family, in this time of hurt, in this time of darkness, in this time of waiting, I want you to know that this is going to be the best example, the best lesson of leadership that you will ever experience. You will walk out of this season of waiting a better leader. You will walk out of this season of waiting a better father or mother. You will walk out of this season of waiting a better Christian because you're trusting completely in the Lord, telling yourself that you can't do it. David's walking at this point with open hands, saying, God, you are the authority. God, you are the master. God, you called me to be king, not to kill Saul. And again, David's men are behind him, telling him to kill Saul. And so a lot of times in our life, we can have those people in our lives that they may be like, hey, just go and get what you want. If you're in this season of waiting, why don't you just rush? Why don't you just go? Why don't you just do it all yourself? We need to trust completely. I like to think about it like this. You know, a lot of times when I have some free time, I'll go and walk around Noonan. And that's probably been my favorite part about being in the guest house, is I can just walk out my front door and just go for a walk. I think I drive about once a month. But it's been great. It's been a great exercise, great way to just see around Noonan. I go over to the high school, make a little loop, and come back. But what I do is whenever I go for a walk, whenever I go to the gym, work out, any time I'm kind of by myself, I put these headphones on. And when I put these headphones on, I like to listen to music or maybe a podcast. It kind of just depends on what I'm feeling that day. But when I put these on, all I hear is the music. All I hear is the podcast or whatever I'm listening to. And so if I have those on, I can't hear anything around me. Like if I'm going for a walk through Noonan and I step into the road without looking, I could very well get hit by a car because I cannot hear anything. Like if you've seen me walking around Noonan and you honked your horn, like why didn't he acknowledge me? It's because I was listening to Taylor Swift or something. Probably was not Taylor Swift. But that's the first thing that came to mind. But it's because I have these headphones on and I can't hear anything around me. It's the same thing with our relationship with God. A lot of times with our relationship with God, we have these soundproof headphones on and we're blasting the world in our ears. You need this, you need that. You're struggling financially. You better get this before this happens, or you better get that before this happens. And we get stressed out, and we start to trust ourselves. We start to trust the world. We start to be deceived. And we kind of remove ourselves from that relationship with God. We have these noise-canceling headphones, and God's standing behind us saying, hey, over here, I have a much better plan for you over here. If you would just trust me, if you would just trust me for a season, if you would just acknowledge me, I promise you this will all be worth it. I'm trying to mold you into something greater. I'm trying to make you the leader over your family, the leader over your company. Everything that you're wanting, I'm trying to do, but it's going to be on my terms. So this morning, maybe you need to have a heart check. Maybe you need to decide for yourself, are you trusting yourself more than you're trusting God? Because when you're trusting yourself more than you're trusting God, you're telling God that he is not enough. You're telling God that his plan is not perfect. You're telling God that his plan needs to fit to where your plan is. And that's when we start to live a life that is conformed to the world. So we walk slowly. We trust completely. The third thing is this. Be expectant. Be expectant. I really do believe that in this passage of Scripture, David has the biggest lesson. And yeah, he's been through a lot. He defeated Goliath. He was made king over his brothers who were physically fit to be king. But in this section, we see David, he just makes a 180. This is where I feel like David has the most work in his life done. He starts to be expectant. But we also see that Saul has a kind of a heart change too. So let's pick up in verse 16 in our passage. As soon as David had finished speaking these words to Saul, Saul said, "Is this your voice, my son David?" And Saul lifted up his voice and wept. He said to David, "You are more righteous than I, for you have repaid me good, whereas I have repaid you evil. And you have declared this day how you have dealt with well with me, and that you did not kill me when the Lord put me into your hands. For if a man finds his enemy, will he let him go away safe? So may the Lord reward you with good for what you have done to me this day. And now, behold, I know that you shall surely be king, and that the kingdom of Israel shall be established into your hand. Swear to me, therefore, by the Lord, that you will not cut off my offspring after me, and that you will not destroy my name out of my father's house." And David swore this to Saul. Then Saul went home, but David and his men went up to the stronghold. We see Saul has a different kind of attitude towards David in this little passage. As Saul starts to see David as king, as the future king, he's saying, "Surely you are God's chosen king." But here's the thing. At the end of this chapter, at the end of this passage, notice how Saul still goes to be king over Israel, and David still goes to be waiting. At the end of this passage, David still wasn't king over Israel. He was still in a season of waiting. They parted ways. So in this time, David only had one thing to do, to be expectant, to expect God to move. And that kind of sounds weird. How would we expect God to move? We are imperfect people, sinners. How would we expect a perfect God to move in our lives? And it's not like we're expecting him to move because we're demanding him to move or that he has to move in our lives. We are expecting him to move because when we do, we are reminding ourselves that we can't do it. That if we're going to trust completely in the Lord, then we better expect him to move, because if we're trusting him, then we're okay with his plan for our life. If we're expecting God to move, then we're okay with waiting if it means that we are going to live in the will of God for our lives. Do you have a heart of expectancy this morning? Are you expecting God to move in your life? Think about all the things that you're waiting for. You're waiting for God to move in your family. You're waiting for God to move in your children's lives. Maybe you have a loved one, they don't know the Lord. You're waiting for God to move in their life. You're saying, "God, when's it going to happen? God, when are we gonna see revival? God, when are we gonna see you work?" God, when are we going to see you work in our finances? God, we're trying to be faithful to you. We're trying time and time again to lean towards you, but it's hard. Are you expecting God to move? Or are you just going through the motions, praying when you feel fit, reading the Bible when you think about it? I want to challenge you this morning to expect God to move. First, individually. David had to individually expect God to move in his life in order to walk away from that kind of situation with Saul, still okay with being in waiting. He had to individually think about, in my life, do I expect God to move? And yes, I do. So it starts individually. Do you expect God to move in your life? Do you expect God to bring you out of this struggle that you're in? It may not be when you want it. It may not be when you feel fit. But if we're being faithful, we must expect God to move. And then it goes outwardly. Do we as a church expect God to move? If we as a church are not expecting God to move in our church, in the community, in the surrounding communities, then what are we doing? And I believe here at First Baptist that we are expecting God to move. When I first got here in Noonan, I knew that I wanted to have kind of a vision for the student ministry, kind of just a way for us to go this semester. And the first word that I ever said to the students on stage that first Wednesday is expect God to move. We started a series, that first series, the first few weeks, called Expectant. We took the first 3 or 4 weeks and we just talked about, do you expect God to move in your life? And then once you do that, do you expect God to move in your schools? And after that, do you expect God to move in the community, in the world? Church family, do you expect God to move? Do you expect God to move in this community? In this season of waiting, do you expect God to move? Do you see God as Lord in your life? Do you see God as the authority in your life? Do you see God like David sees God? The one with the perfect plan. I am so grateful that I did not try to pave my own path in that season of waiting. Because I didn't even know Noonan existed, to be honest with you. I got here by the grace of God, but I'm so glad that I did, because I have seen time and time again the Lord's goodness, not just in my life, but in the student ministry. Man, if y'all haven't been able to join us on Wednesday night, just peek in. Man, those students, they are on fire. They are passionate. They love the Lord. They are ready for God to move. They didn't tell me to say that, but they are ready. They are leading in their schools. They are leading Bible studies. They are coming to me all the time. Hey, can we do this? And can we do that? And can we do that? I'm like, just let me sit down first. A church family, if we are not having an expectant heart, then how can we expect God to move? For so many of us, we treat God as kind of a genie. We wish this and we wish that, and we tell God that he needs to do this and he needs to do that, but he's trying to tell us, say, hey, work on yourself. Be in a relationship with me. We are expecting God to move, but we haven't read the word, and it seems like a month. Church family, are you seeking the Lord? Matthew chapter 7 says this, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. And knock, and the door will be open. This verse in Matthew, it talks about having an expectant heart, that we must ask the Lord. When is the last time you asked the Lord in prayer? Not for like a new car, like a new job, or like more money, but you're asking the Lord, saying, hey, Lord, I'm going through this season of life. Can you give me comfort? Can you give me contentment? I can't tell you how many times I've had to ask the Lord for contentment. Are you asking the Lord? He's there. He sees you. He hears you. We must pursue the Lord. Are you seeking the Lord? Do you seek out the Lord, or do you just wait for him to come to you? How can we seek the Lord? We're spending time in God's word. Do you have significant time, non-negotiable time, that you're spending in the Word of God? Because if you don't, it's going to be hard to trust Him when it matters the most. It's going to be hard to walk slowly. It's going to be hard to be expectant. We must seek the Lord in prayer, in God's Word, in worship. We don't gather here just for fun. We don't gather here just to see each other. We gather here on Sundays to worship together. We gather here on Sundays to equip believers to be sent out and share the gospel. We gather here on Sundays so we can expect God to move. And then you're knocking and you're waiting for the Lord. I think it's for so often we play ding-dong ditch with God. It's kind of funny to think about. But I know in my life, how many times have I had such a busy schedule or a busy life where I'm going to pray to the Lord? I'm saying, Lord, I need this, I need that, I need this, I need that. Thank you. Walk away. I'm asking the Lord, I'm seeking the Lord, but then when it comes time to knock and wait for the Lord, wait for His response, I'm not there. I don't see the Lord working. But when I have an expectant heart, I'm knocking and I'm waiting for the Lord to move because I know that He will, because He says He will. Are you asking? Are you seeking? And are you knocking and waiting? We must have a heart of expectancy. So we have walk slowly, we have trust completely, and we have be expectant. Church family, if we can do these three things, we can be faithful in the dark. And for some of you, this season of darkness, man, it hurts. It hurts. You feel like you've been waiting for a long time, like David has. I want to challenge you this morning to try these three things this week. Try to walk slowly next time you have the opportunity to just act. I want to challenge you to pray before you act. I want to challenge you to trust completely this week. Trust completely that the Lord will move in your life. Trust completely that the Lord has a will, that the Lord has a plan. The Lord is not clueless. The Lord doesn't just shut His door to us and then open it when He's ready. He is here and He is ready, but we have to trust Him. Do you have a heart of expectancy? I want to challenge you to be expectant this week. Think about in your life. Write these things down this week as you prepare for your week. How do I want God to move this week? List all of your seasons of waiting, all of your seasons of struggle. And list, how do I want God to move in that season? How do I want God to move in this area? How do I want God to move in that area? We are being expectant when we are saying, God, I want You to move in this area. I'm not enough. You have to help me. I'm expecting You to do it. Maybe you're a believer in the room and you just need some prayer this morning. As we wrap up this morning, I'm about to pray. We're going to join in worship. And that's a time for you to just respond. Maybe you just need some prayer this morning. You need someone to say, hey, the Lord's got you. The Lord has a plan. The Lord sees you. The Lord hears you. Maybe you just need that reminder this morning. Maybe you're a believer in Christ and you feel like your relationship with the Lord, it just hasn't been there. You feel like you've just been kind of stagnant in your relationship with the Lord. I want to challenge you just in this time of response that you would boldly go before the Lord and that you would make the commitment to be faithful in the dark. I pray for believers that we would not sit here and we would not leave the same way we came in, but that we would leave ready to share the gospel. We would leave ready to be ambassadors for Christ. Maybe you're sitting here this morning, you've never accepted the Lord into your life. And here's what I'll tell you. You're going through a season of struggle. You're going through a season of waiting. You're wondering why it's all happening. You're wondering why you're in the dark. It's because we live in a world that's full of sin, brokenness, and separation. You're separated from the Lord because of your sins that we see in Genesis chapter 3. And this morning, I want to encourage you that there's a man named Jesus who died for your sins. We just remembered that on Easter, just a couple of weeks ago. And so I want to encourage you, if today, this morning, you want to accept Jesus into your life, I want to encourage you to be bold. Come down and talk to me, one of the deacons that are up here. We would love to walk you through God's word on how you can start a relationship with him this morning. We all have a way to respond. We all have something in our lives that we want God to move in. Bring that before the Lord this morning. Don't just wait for the Lord to come to you. Go to him. We are called to humbly go before the Lord, and he will give us rest, right? He will give us rest. This rest that you've been seeking, the Lord has it. Maybe you need to take off the metaphorical headphones and listen to the Lord this morning. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for this morning, for the opportunity just to open up your word. Lord, I pray that we would take it seriously. Lord, for anyone in this room, they're going through a season of waiting, or going through a season of struggle. Lord, I pray that you would encourage them this morning, but also you would convict their hearts to say, am I living faithful in this season of darkness or waiting? Lord, I pray that we would walk slowly this week, that we would trust completely this week, and that we would expect you to move this week. Lord, I pray for anyone in the room that has never accepted you into their life. I pray that today would be the day that they go from death to life. That today would be the day that they experience the most joy, the most contentment, the most happiness that they've ever experienced. And it's only through the power of the gospel. Lord, thank you for your son, Jesus. Thank you for sending him to die on the cross for our sins. We don't deserve it. We haven't earned it. But you've graciously given it to us. Lord, I'm so thankful for this church family. I'm so thankful for their hearts to serve. I'm so thankful for their generosity. Help us as a church family to walk out of here ambassadors for Christ. Help us to be a beacon in the community for the lost. Lord God, we love you. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.